Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Thanks for learning this Kermit on Film podcast. It is stupid o'clock in the morning on the morning after the Oscars. It's Monday. And I'm joined by Jack Howard.
Hello.
Both Jack and I have been up for quite a long time, although I have to say for different reasons. So, Jack, firstly, give us this, because you've literally just arrived here.
I have.
I don't even know. Where are we?
I'm not sure.
We're somewhere near Soho.
I'm so out of it.
So you stayed up for the whole
shebang. I was up all night for
this
the Oscars.
This is the post-Oscars podcast. I don't know if I said
it's
that.
It's going to be a bit of a mess.
It's a little bit like this. You said beforehand that you're delusional.
I'm delusional.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
it's the
barely
misuse
awake.
Of the word, but I think it's fine. So, Jack, where have you spent the last few hours?
I was up all night with my friends watching the Oscars, having an amazing time, because it just kept being like, oh, maybe this is the end, maybe this is it. And then it just kept getting better and better, and it was just joyous. And then I went to sleep.
Oh, you've been to sleep?
For maximum an hour. Max. And then I had to get up and get a taxi here.
Oh, so the Oscars, you've been asleep since the Oscars finished?
No, I had to get back to my house and ended up getting on a weird bus route that took me kind of the wrong way. So I had to go back on my... So I ended up going to sleep around 5:30.
Yeah, but so you have been asleep since the Oscars and then?
For about 70 minutes max. So does that count?
Well, here we go.
It's like a nap.
So my day started like this. I got up at 3 o'clock, not to watch the Oscars, but because my child... It was coming back from having been away somewhere, and it was coming back to Gatwick, and the plane got into Gatwick at like 6:15. So I live in the middle of nowhere, so drove from there at 3:30 to get to Gatwick to be there.
So were you up to date with the Oscars as they were happening?
So as we were driving, I was listening to them on the radio.
Oh, right.
And of course, when they do them on the radio, you're only allowed to you do the awards as they happen, mm-hmm. but you're only allowed to hear bits of the speeches. So you've seen all the speeches. I've only heard the kind of highlights. I know that, you know, Joaquin Phoenix talked about veganism and Brad Pitt talked about Trump. But and I know that Bong Joon-ho said he was going to go and get absolutely rat-faced.
He just kept talking about getting drunk. His speeches just kept ending with him being like, I'm going to drink now.
But I then waited at Gatwick, and of course the plane was delayed, and so I haven't. So my child has now arrived, and that's fine, and is with our...
But you haven't seen him?
No.
Oh, that is so mental.
Because I had to get here to see you, Jack. You've literally taken precedence over my other... Yes, exactly. It's so hard, you know, which it's preference. So anyway, let's begin by saying... I think you called it.
I absolutely did.
And I take my hat off to you, because I didn't... I the last time we were here in this room, and I said, okay, 1917 is going to win Best Picture, but you said you thought Parasite was going to.
I was like, I'm optimistic that it could do it. I think that was my phrasing. And I kept saying, I think we said it when we were in Rotterdam as well.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm optimistic that Parasite could potentially do it. And I think you were like... It's got no chance. No chance in hell.
And I think I cited, you know, history, saying it has never happened in the history of the Oscars that a film entirely in a foreign language and not in the English language has won. I mean, there are examples like, for example, Slumdog Millionaire, in which certain sections of it are subtitled, but it never happened. So this is history.
It is.
This is absolute history.
There's a critical part of this that I think the listeners are missing, which is a visual element of how smug I look. and Parasite walked away with... Not just Best Picture, but Best Foreign Language, Best International
Feature. Best International, they're now calling it.
And also Best Director.
And Best
Original Screenplay. That is just so good. And it's like the polar opposite to Green Book last year.
Yeah.
And my friends and I were saying, maybe Green Book had to happen to get this. And I saw Robbie Collin tweet pretty much instantly being like, well, that means next year is going to have to be rubbish then. And I was like, no, don't do that right now. Like, let's just bask in this for a bit. Like, this is the sort of, when we were talking about, like, do the Oscars matter?
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing where when it happens, you can feel how
it does
exciting yeah. it is. And I've seen videos of people going absolutely crazy when it got announced as Best Picture. Because
yeah.
there's a moment, and I don't know if you've seen the video yet,
I haven't.
Jane Fonda. There's a moment where it looked like her mouth is in the shape of her about to say no. Honestly,
oh, really?
I don't know if she's taking the piss, but there's a moment where we
It'd be
all
great to think she was. Though,
it would be yes, but we all leant forward because she's really like milking it,
yeah.
and then when she just goes Parasite, it was just this. It was overwhelming. Like,
part
it was
of me
so
thought,
good. Me and my friends are, like, whole hugged each other.
Part of me thought how brilliant that Jane Fonda was the one who got to announce that, because the whole coming home, the Deer Hunter, you know, the way that all panned out was a classic example of, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Deer Hunter's a break. But it was great that Jane Fonda got to be the person to announce the first time a film not in the English language had won Best Picture. And I think that's... I mean, I was driving the car, and literally just before... Colin Radio 5 was talking about the way in which the voting system for Best Picture works, and that generally what happens is, and this is the thing I've always said, it ends up going for the one that people don't dislike.
Number three on the list.
Exactly. And then Parasite was announced, and I swear, the car did a little switch. Like, yeah. No!
The reason why I was feeling optimistic about it in the first place was it's everybody's favourite. Nobody is giving it anything but praise.
Well, you say that. I wrote, you know, I've reviewed it on the radio, and you and I have talked about it before, and you know.
Can I just say as well? I thought that review that you did on the radio was absolutely fantastic, and I don't just mean a fantastic, like, oh, what a glowing review. I mean the way that you spoke about it. I mean, I know you're a very intelligent person, obviously, but the way you were speaking about
it—you kind of have to say that, though, don't you? Because,
but it was just so eloquent and passionate. It was so—I've listened to it a couple of times. I think it's a really excellent review.
Well, thank you. And I mean, I love that film, and you and I've had this conversation. In fact, my child, who I haven't seen yet, who I watched Parasite with the first time, you know, last year, and we both just went, well, it's perfect. It's
yeah.
just perfect, isn't it? You know, there's nothing wrong with that film. It is absolutely perfect. Let's watch it again, because let's see how it... Because I've now seen it four times. And, of course, you and I were in Rotterdam when Bong Joon-ho unveiled the black and white version. And it has been suggested that they are going to release the black and white version theatrically here after the colour version's done the rounds. And I'm so excited about that, because there was a black and white version of Mother before, but when we were in Rotterdam, there was that statement that Bong Joon-ho had written saying that the black and white version makes the shades of grey all the stronger. And he said that it emphasised the difference between the two households even more, because when you take the colour out of the picture, all you're left with is the surfaces. The fact that some of these surfaces are shiny and gleamy, and some of these surfaces are kind of, you know, rough-hued. Yeah, and so even thinking about that now, thinking, there's another version of it I can watch. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm really excited about doing it. So
I've only watched it with people who have only... I've only seen it for the first time.
Yeah.
So I obviously saw it for the first time, and I watched it with my friend Jacob before the BAFTAs. And it is just a marvellous film to watch with people who don't know what's about to happen.
But it's also marvellous to watch with people because the
Yeah, you're right. I think it would be something interesting about watching it with somebody who has seen it, so that you can both together pick up the details that you didn't spot the first time.
Every time I see it, I think one of the geniuses of it, and funnily enough, this relates a little bit to Rian Johnson's script for Knives Out. The reason that the Knives Out script is so brilliant is that the revelations aren't, oh, and here's a character we haven't spoken of before who happened to...
It's not Deus Ex Machina
no,
stuff.
It's every... when you watch Knives Out, which I really love, and I know you do too, in the opening 5 minutes, everything you need to know is there.
Mm-hmm.
And the genius with Parasite is, and I think Bong Joon-ho said this in this kind of director statement when the film first played at Cannes, he said, it's not like a film in which there is a twist. It's not like a Sixth Sense in which, you know...
oh, wow!
It's a sledge.
Yeah.
It's not that film. but what happens is all the changes and the tonal shifts are all completely organic. They all absolutely are built into the film. So when you, having seen it once and now twice, three times, you go back and you see how well everything is prepared in advance. And the other thing I want to say about it is, I think... it's a shame that there hasn't been more attention given to Jung Jae-il's music, because the music in Parasite is so fantastic. I mean, it's so, when the tonal shifts of that film, you know, starting with the kind of the somber piano theme and then going into that really kind of, you know, sort of like a sort of semi-symphony of Belt of Faith, I think it's called. And then the stuff with the choric vocals and the musical saw.
Yeah.
I mean, all that is doing some of the lifting. Anyway, just genius. So, since you watched the whole ceremony and since I didn't, talk me through the major highlights for you. Do you want to go from, what was the first surprise of the evening?
The first surprise, I think it might have been, for me, it might have been Parasite winning original screenplay.
Okay, which of course it did win at the BAFTAs.
At the BAFTAs, yeah, but I didn't think it was going to go the same way at the Oscars.
What did you think would?
I actually hoped it would be Marriage Story, right, just because I would like to have seen that. In the same way that I hoped that Greta Gerwig would win for Little Women, but actually those went the same way as the BAFTAs did.
Yeah. It did look like it was lining up completely with the BAFTAs for a while. I mean, it was, you know, it was, I thought that...
In a way, it was quite a predictable awards.
Until it suddenly wasn't.
But everything sort of went to really deserving things. And we were all preparing ourselves as well to be like, if 1917 does take it, it's an absolutely worthy film. Yeah. Of course it is. We'll all be a little bit disappointed just because it's a very safe option, but...
But it's
a really good
safe option.
Of course it is. It's not Green Book.
No, no, exactly. Which is Green Book and Driving Miss Daisy. It's like when Moonlight won, and in fact, this was actually the point at which I started thinking, you know, the Oscars are getting smarter than I thought they were. Because when Moonlight won, it had La La Land won, you would have thought, okay, La La Land's great. I really like La La Land. It would have been brilliant if Moonlight had won. I mean, I remember interviewing Barry Jenkins for this podcast, I believe, was it? Remember interviewing Barry Jenkins, and you know, at the point at which Moonlight was a little independent film that had done quite well at some film festivals, and if somebody said it's going to win Best Picture, you would have gone, "Yeah, right. That's a Kermode Award winner. That's the one that, you know. Oh, it got nominated.
I saw it at the Curzon before there was all this hype. It was just building up, and he was there for a Q&A, and somebody mentioned like the Oscar nominations are going to be coming out soon. What are you expecting? And he was like, he was so like dismissive of the idea that it could ever even be a thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, then it went on. And I honestly, I do feel like this is a historical moment. But sorry, to come off Parasite again. Okay, so...
We're going
to
find our way back there constantly.
Yeah, we are. So the screenplay thing was fantastic. I think there was never any question that Parasite was going to win Best International Feature, as they're now calling it. As far as the other categories, Laura Dern for Supporting Actress, that obviously mirrors the BAFTAs. And Brad Pitt for Supporting Actor. Now, what was the Brad Pitt speech like? Because I didn't see
but actually, he
spoke about Trump, right?
Yeah, not directly, but yes, absolutely. That actually was the first surprise of the night, actually, because I was like, Brad Pitt has been delivering the funniest speeches throughout this entire award ceremony. He delivered the funniest speech at the BAFTAs, and he wasn't there.
Yes, that's right. It was great, wasn't it?
Yes. Hey, England, I hear you're single now. Great. And so I was like, he's going to give a belter at the Oscars. He's been saving it all up. But actually, it was this very... It felt unprepared. It felt natural. He said, I've only got 45 seconds, which is more than...
45 seconds more than Bolton had,
yes.
Which was a really... That's a smart... I mean, obviously, he prepared that because that's a smart gag.
It is, yeah. But then he was just quite thankful. And you could feel that he was sort of holding back tears in some way, in the same way that I could see that Taika Waititi, when he won, it was like his natural radar for comedy was trying to push into sort of, come on, make jokes, make something silly about this, and then the sort of more earnest part of himself was pulling it back, and he couldn't quite sort of do his, he was sort of shaky and didn't know what to, and was trying to make jokes and didn't. And I think it's just because it's so overwhelming. You've been on this journey, I imagine, for them as well. They've been on a actual journey with everybody for so many months now on this whole awards campaign. And now it's all come to a head with this. I imagine it's massively overwhelming to stand on that stage and hold that statue. There's something I imagine you haven't seen yet, that when Bong Joon-ho won, I think, his first Oscar for screenplay, the co-writer was having his moment to have a to give a speech, and Bong Joon-ho's in the background just staring at the Oscar, smiling and giggling, and then he sort of just looks at the audience and this big gleeful smile on his face, because he's like, this is...
But here's the thing, I have seen that moment because it's on social media.
Yes.
It's like immediately everyone, Bong Joon-ho giggles at Oscar, and it's so delightful because he looks so... It's like kind of like can't quite believe.
Absolutely.
And you know, as I said, first of many. Taika Waititi winning for adapted screenplay, which again was prefigured at the BAFTAs. So at that point, it did look like everything was kind of falling in the same way. Roger Deakins winning best cinematographer.
Obviously.
Well, you say obviously, but how many, you know, now suddenly Roger Deakins is on a winning streak after that extremely lengthy period of being
nominated.
I just think
that when you do something that 1917. Although emotional and you know, a visceral experience, is a technical achievement, I think above all, it's just how did you make that happen like that? And I think that the technicalities of 1917 are actually an improvement on Birdman. And I think I like Birdman a lot. And I don't mind all the obvious little sort of hidden cuts. It doesn't bother me because I just think it's good. But in 1917, I don't think it's as obvious. And I think that there's more attention to how they're going to hide those cuts. So there's things dressed into the foreground constantly, things moving by and all the rest of it to sort of mask those cuts. And also, so when those cuts do happen, it doesn't jar you and think, that was something moving in front of frame there. I think that was probably a cut. It's always there. And just the way that he lights that nightmare sequence, which is what it is, it's horrid and abstract and weird, when he does all that, and I think it's day for night. I'm not sure. I think I've seen some behind the scenes. They might have been rehearsing. Whatever they did, and the way he frames...
It's the underworld suit.
It's just overwhelming.
Done.
And just, I think he deserved it just for that.
Just
and the fact that he did it all in one... Well, made it seem like it was all in one take. And made it interesting for 2 hours. Yeah, I don't think there was any doubt that he was going to get it for this one.
On the subject of the other film you mentioned, I was clearing out my office on Saturday, and honestly, I haven't been able to get... My office is tiny. It's like a shoe cupboard, but I haven't been able to get from one end of it to the other end for about 5 years. So I've just been working in the kitchen. And finally, I had to clear...
What a solution.
Exactly. I finally had to clear it out, and I was clearing through all this clutter, and I found this little action figure of this winged thing, and I looked at it, and I thought, what is that? I've got no... And I showed it to her. I said, Linda, what is that? She went, that's Birdman. I went, oh, yeah, that's... I'm sorry, that's... Which just shows how much of an impact. It was, oh, yeah, that's Birdman, the one that won, but not...
Instead of Boyhood.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of those kind of, oh, yeah, fine, they went to the wrong one. Okay, so Roger Deakins were all perfectly happy about. And then the first great big, for me, air-punching thing was, and I never had any doubts about it, Hilda Gudnadotta winning for Joker.
Yeah.
Which not only...
We've called it from the beginning.
Yeah. I think, to be honest with you, I think pretty much everyone has, hasn't it? Because she,
there's been no doubt about that one.
It is absolutely brilliant. There was, at one point, the bookies had Thomas Newman just briefly in the lead, because the Thomas Newman score for 1917 is very good. And, of course, there's that lovely moment when, you know, you hear Wayfaring Stranger, and so you're aware of the music. And I think it would... I mean, again, go back and read some of the reviews of Joker when it came out, even here. A lot of people didn't write about the music. It's really odd. I read so many film reviews of films. I've read reviews of Parasite that have made no mention of the music at all. It's like, how can you not think of that as a key element of what the film is about? But that was a fantastic win. And, you know, it is shocking that we're still thinking of, wow, a woman won that, because it's only happened a few times beforehand. But it was just such a terrific score. I wish Mika Levy had been nominated for Monos. I wish Monos had been nominated for some things. But that was a really great, well done, absolutely fabulous, brilliant, and I'm so thrilled
such
about it.
Such a cute little speech as well. Like, she was so thrilled. Her personality really shone in that moment. And I just was like, just take as much time as you need. Like, this is so amazing for you. I think she used to work alongside Johan.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why she took over Sicario too.
Right.
And so they had absolutely...
So there probably would have been a world where he would have done Joker. if he hadn't passed away, unfortunately.
But you can hear the influences because they are coming from a kind of similar, you know, similar pond. And I think the brilliant thing about Hilda Gundadotter's stuff is that she has absolutely her own distinct style, but you can hear where it's drawing from, and it doesn't sound like committee, it doesn't sound like some other things. It sounds like an individual. You hear that score, and it is her, and the cello is so important. And what you were saying before about the bathroom dance being played to Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, and I think I love when that sort of stuff happens because it feels like the images and the music are really married to each other. And I don't think you could. It's sort of what we were talking about previously on our last podcast about separating music from scenes and them not feeling at the same moment anymore. I don't think you could remove the score from Joker because it feels like the movie was made with it in mind,
which it was,
which it actually was,
yeah,
and it influenced the scenes. And I thought it was quite funny actually when they were showing best adapted screenplay clips. They showed one of the first clips they showed was Joker in the bathroom, and I was like, they didn't write that. that was made up on the day, so why are you showing that one? this is why I don't think it should be nominated at all for screenplay, because so much of it was made up on the day. But actually, going back to sort of surprises, it's just come back to me now. The biggest surprise, without a doubt, of the night was Eminem performed.
Oh yeah. And I saw you tweeted, what year is it?
There's an amazing reaction. There's several amazing reactions of the moment. But Billie Eilish had several amazing reactions throughout the night. And she was just, everybody in the room was just like, what? What's happening? And he just, I think it's because he didn't get to perform it when he won the Oscar for it in 2003. And so he came and did it this year.
Okay.
For no apparent reason. Maybe it's because he's got new music out. I don't know. And on a similar note, I was expecting Billie Eilish to perform her new Bond song.
Yes, you're not the first person who said that.
Which is obviously what they knew, everyone would be expecting that. And then as the night was going on and it wasn't happening, I was like, oh, I know what it is. She's going to be doing the In Memoriam thing. And she did a really lovely cover of Yesterday by the Beatles. And really,
were a popular singing group in the 1960s.
I've heard of them. I never saw them live.
It's
though,
just
Mark.
That you said Yesterday by the Beatles. It's like, yeah, I think we were all there.
No, we weren't
all
there.
There was a whole movie about it.
We weren't all there.
Oh, really? Okay.
I only got halfway through that movie on a plane. Couldn't watch it.
You walked
rubbish.
Out on a plane.
But yeah, she did. I hate to sound like Simon Cowell, but she really made that song her own. Like,
yeah, you need to stop now because you do sound like Simon Cowell.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, since we were talking about Hilda Gundadotter, and, in a way, the authorship of the bathroom dance, therefore, is her.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix winning for Best Actor again. You called this early.
When we first talked about it, you were like, "I'm not sure if he's going to get nominated at all."
Because I thought, and I mean, this just goes to show how, you know, out of whack my perception of these things is, and what kind of bubble I live in. I thought the negative feeling towards Joker was so strong that the Academy voters would be put off.
Mm.
And I was completely wrong.
Obviously, it became the most nominated film of the year.
And he was, you know, absolutely, as far as the bookies were concerned, right up at the top. But you did call that. So what did you think? You thought that was, and what was his speech like, the veganism speech?
So actually, that was only one part of it. And I think it's going to get cut to being mostly about that. Because it was very activist-y, talking about how we don't, take for granted everything that's around us, yeah. and we some people treat themselves like they're higher than others and just higher than other beings and all the rest of it, and just a very worthwhile speech, very sort of, you know, Tropic Thunder in terms of like actor taking on a role that of someone who's speaking for the people. But then it did transition into something a bit more personal, and it ended with him quoting River Phoenix, and he struggled to say,
because he never talks about River Phoenix
in
interviews.
Ever,
no,
never mentions it. So when he said, I could see him struggling, and when he said that that's the lyric my brother wrote when he was 17, I just covered up my face, yeah. And I was just holding back tears because he was just clearly, and then he left instantly. It was a very, yeah, good speech about some good things that need to be said, and then he made it a much more personal message. And left on that note. And I like it because it was the exact opposite of Renee Zellweger's speech, which was just like, I'd like to thank the postman, and I'd like to thank, you know.
But didn't she dedicate it to Judy Garland, who, yeah, of course, famously never won an Oscar?
Yes,
and then
she did eventually get there.
Oh, fine. There was a lot
she
of other
people. Got to, I know this is mostly for Judy Garland and her memory and a celebration of her, but before that, kept talking about, like, heroes in the world and how we all, I was watching it being like, okay, I'm almost starting to get anxious that you're going to start getting played off.
Okay.
Like, she
see, I just want to say I have two words to say
about
that Lupita Nyong'o.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
two of the best performances of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Renee Zellweger, great, and all the rest of it and everything, although Judy Davis, but Lupita Nyong'o, even if not winning,
yeah,
the absence of Lupita Nyong'o from the nominations was shocking.
Look, I think as well that there's some, we've talked about absences already, I think, yeah. But if it was up to me, I would have given Best Actor to Adam Driver. I would have loved to have seen Adam Sandler nominated, and I think he probably should have won if he was nominated.
Yeah.
And for Best Supporting Actor, I was so happy to see Brad Pitt win. I think he's very deserving. I absolutely love him in that film.
Can we just say on the subject of Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, of course, did win at the Independent Spirit Awards, as did the Safdies. And in terms of, you know, great speeches, the Adam Sandler acceptance speech at the Independent Spirit Awards,
it might be my favourite speech of all time.
Hey, thank you so much, man. That's really cool. Thanks. I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you, man. I know you guys, I'll try to go quick. My speech is too long, so I'll try to breeze through it. And I love you. Just in case they cut me off, I love you to my wife and my kids and my family, and I love you. Okay, I wrote a speech. Here we go real quick. Hello, my name is Adam Sandler. Thank you. I stand before you trembling with thankful glee as I receive the so-called Best Actor trophy, independently speaking, of course. First off, it's great to see our host Aubrey Plaza again. Aubrey and I did a movie entitled Funny People 11 years ago. That was actually the last time critics pretended not to hate me for 5 fucking minutes. Catch you in another 11 years, Aubrey. Okay. I'd like to also give a shout out to my fellow nominees, who will now and forever be known as the guys who lost to fucking Adam Sandler.
He's so aware of himself. It's great.
And then the Safdies do this brilliant thing that because they both win for director, they both give acceptance speeches at the same time,
which I've never seen before.
But it works. But
yeah,
it's, I mean, it's
they
almost
overlap,
like they
and you
planned,
get to catch little moments, yeah, of both of them.
And couldn't have made it without. And
I almost expected them to sync up at the end and say the same thing at the end.
I thought those two were. That was great speeches, and Adam Sandler, who, you know, I am one of the people when he said it was 11 years ago with funny people said it was the last time critics pretended for 5 minutes that they don't hate me, mm-hmm, and that's me.
Yeah. You know, he's speaking directly to me.
That's the funniest Adam Sandler thing I've ever seen. I thought it was just genius.
I hope that now he gets to do whatever he wants to do and doesn't just relax back into bad comedies.
He will do.
Know. I don't know what he wants.
I think partly the one thing he has demonstrated is he does want to make bad comedies. Yeah, that's what he wants to do, you know.
He can do either.
Okay, so Best Director. Now, again, you did call it for Bong Joon-ho, and I was pretty certain, I thought it was possible, but I was pretty certain it was going to be Sam Mendes. And in fact, after the BAFTAs, I thought, okay, well, that is almost a template for how the Oscars are going to go. And one of the really good things was that the Oscars and the BAFTAs didn't marry up. I think the fact that Sam Mendes won Best Director and 1917 won Best Film at the BAFTAs, and then Bong Joon-ho won at the Oscars, was kind of quite nice, because the BAFTAs are the British Academy film. There's a poetic justice.
It was way more appropriate
for
90. It was almost like obvious. I could see it even when Sam Mendes was sitting in the auditorium. He was like, here we go, strap in. It's the first of many. He just sort of like knew that he was, I mean, even from the first, because they won for Best British Film.
Yes.
And for Best Film.
Yeah.
Which hadn't happened before.
Thank you so much for this honour. I can't tell you how much it means to us all. From the cast and crew, thank you. As co-writer of this film, I was involved from a very early stage, right the way through production, and I got to witness firsthand how quintessentially British 1917 was.
It was the moment that when it won Best British Film, and Sam Mendes didn't give a speech, and Christy Wilson-Kearns, the co-writer, did. I was like, I think they know that they're going to win a lot of awards tonight, because otherwise I think Sam Mendes would be speaking right now. But it almost felt like, you do this one, and then I'll do director, and then we'll see what happens from there. So it was nice that at the Oscars it didn't... Look, I like 1917.
So do I. It's I think 1917 is really good.
It's really good. It's in my top 10 of the year. It's really good. I think we've said the word safe. It just feels like a very safe option. It's, and I'm just so pleased that it was given to a film that hasn't even been given a wide release here in the UK, and I assume now might get one.
Well, it only opened on Friday, and so I was going to just to refer back to something you said ages ago.
Go on.
Which was when you said everybody loves Parasite, right? This is right at the beginning of the. I'm just going to.
We said this was going to be a bit of a mess.
Yeah, we're both a little bit addled. You said everybody loves Parasite, and then I write for a newspaper. I write for The Observer, and my Observer review was published on Sunday morning, and. They have this thing in the Observer reviews that they have, below the line comments in which anyone can comment anonymously, and immediately that I saw it's rubbish.
Yeah.
People say it's all hype. And the thing is that I start replying to these, no, it's not. Just grow up.
Yeah.
And, how are you convincing me? I feel like going, okay, so when you said nobody dislikes Parasite, no, loads of people do, but they're just people who I don't care about.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I've not had a single conversation with anybody who doesn't like it anyway.
Self-selecting group.
You
haven't had a single conversation with people that you know and would have a conversation with because they're...
I don't want to do that.
No, exactly, because also, it's like the thing, do you like Parasite? No, fine.
We're
not going to have a conversation.
What am I going to talk about now? Like, I'm just going to know the entire time that you don't like Parasite.
And there's somebody wrote one of these comments, they went, it's so simplistic, poor people good, rich people bad. Go,
that's not
which film? No,
that's not what happens.
No,
is
that's
it?
Really not. That's a different film. But well done.
That's more like Joker that you're describing.
Anyway, yes. But what's that? What's that phrase? Never go below the line. Never go below the line. The bottom of the internet is where So there are people out there who don't like Parasite.
We just don't want to hear about them.
And if you're one of them, please unsubscribe.
There are other podcasts for you.
Many others. It'll be great. And let's just...
upset that it won Best Picture at the Oscars, you don't. This is the wrong energy.
Anyway, so then Bong Joon-ho winning Best Director, brilliant. But I honestly, Jack, I was... Were you surprised when it won Best Film?
Massively, But I was surprised when it won Best... So when it won Best Original Screenplay, I was like, yeah, cool, nice. That could be a good sign. And then as the night went on, I don't know what happened, but there was some dip in the middle of the show where I started to be a bit more pessimistic. And I was like, no, maybe we're just doing wishful thinking. Maybe it just won sort of quite a nice awards at the start of the show.
You don't think that was just the tiredness kicking in?
Potentially. This is what I'm saying. I don't know.
I'm so impressed that you... But then you're young, you see. I used to stay up and watch them, but now I could... You know, it's just...
I don't know how much longer I've got in me. but that I started to sort of dip down into pessimism and be like, no, maybe it's just going to go the way we think and it's just won some nice awards at the beginning. Like, I remember when Jordan Peele won Best Original Screenplay for Get Out and I was like, ooh, that could be... And then nothing.
Yeah.
It just felt like a curse.
And then for us... Nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a brilliantly written, brilliantly directed, and brilliantly played. Let me just say, Lupita Nyong'o again. Film.
Yes.
Okay.
As it was going on, I was starting to get a bit more pessimistic. But then, when he won Best Director, I leapt off the sofa. my mate, whose house we were at, has neighbours, so we were having to do this sort of silent cheer. Where I was just going, yeah. but then I was like, okay.
So you're having to quietly celebrate.
Absolutely. My mate even came up with a way of clapping that apparently deaf people would almost do like a jazz hands type thing when they tap.
He
was like, maybe we'll do that tonight. And so we just sort of made that a bit of a joke.
I have to tell you, we just do
jazz hands whenever we're clapping.
I don't know whether you watched the televised BAFTAs, but when Bate won Outstanding Debut, you hear really clearly this woman's voice go, wah! Like that. That's my wife. That's Linda. She was literally sitting next to me. My eardrum nearly came out. There we are. Yes, part of history, folks.
Whereas so, I'm in the living room pretending to like, wishing I could do that.
So look, overall, we're encouraged. I mean, you know, I do the Kermode Awards, in which the whole thing is, you know, you can't win if you're nominated, and one of the questions is always, is this a better or worse than the actual nominations? And somebody sent me a tweet this morning. They said, you know, I think for the first year, the Oscar wins were actually better than the Kermode Awards. I do think
some of them.
No, obviously not across the board, but actually, all things considered, it was one of the better Oscars, right?
Yeah, my friend Tim, who is a listener of the show. Hi, Tim.
You're doing shout-outs to friends there.
Yeah, why not? He tweeted something perfect. He just tweeted, so they just gave Best Picture
to the Best Picture.
What's happening?
Well, like, they did do that before with Moonlight. Moonlight was the Best Picture of that
but
year.
It still feels baffling. And I think that in terms of deserving wins, some predictable but deserving, and some surprising and history-making, this is the best Oscars I've watched since I've been watching it. And I started watching it, this is going to make you feel weird, I only started watching it the year the Hurt Locker won.
Oh, really? So I, that's, 2010?
Yeah, that's when I started watching
it. Wow. So the first one you watched, the only time as a woman director has won, that was the first one you watched?
Yeah.
Wow, you must have thought, God, this is incredibly egalitarian and brilliant. How fabulous.
I started on a high. And then it quickly went down.
Okay, so look, where are you going from here? Because you know where I'm going from here? I'm going to do a day's full of screenings, and then I'm going to do an onstage MK3D.
I might go back to bed. Because this all feels like a bit of a dream. The idea that Parasite has won feels like I've made it up.
That's right. You're going to wake up, it's going to be, and the winner is Judy.
What? I didn't know he was even nominated for Best Picture.
It isn't. Is it?
No, it's not.
I can't. But it's like, already I can't remember. And that's the genius of the Adam Sandler speech.
Yeah.
My fellow nominees, who will now forever be known as the people who lost to fucking Adam Sandler. That's it. You know, everyone says, oh yeah, well, being nominated is winning. No.
I love that this podcast as well, usually, and we predicted it would have been us complaining or criticising their decisions or weird little snobs that would have happened. But actually, it's just us being ecstatic with the decision that's made. And now I can't wait to see what Bong Joon-ho does with this power that he's been handed.
Yeah.
Like, how many Oscars does he have now? Four?
Yes, because he's a producer, so he will have won for Best. So writing, director, foreign language, he will have won and Best Film, yeah.
So he's got four Oscars. That is mental. And now he's just going to be able to do whatever it is that he wants to do. I assume he's going to have not Nolan status, where Nolan can get $200 million for original IP, but I'm assuming that he'll be handed a decent amount of money to make another original.
Well, there's a Parasite TV series coming now,
isn't
there?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's already been signed. Yeah, that's happening now already. And as I said, there's the black and white version coming out. And I just hope that whatever he does, it's not what we expect.
Yes.
I hope that it's...
Because every single one of his films has been massively different.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the underlying themes, the kind of distrust of authority and wealth, and, you know. Yeah, that's been there all right back to Memories of Murder and, you know. But it's... Every single one of his films is, oh, which genre in it? And you know the thing that would be really great to come out of all this is if Snowpiercer now got a theatrical release in the UK, because actually that is such a brilliant film that needs to be seen on the big screen.
Did you see it on the big screen?
Yeah, because I opened the John Hurt Centre up in Norwich and they showed it on the big screen. Up until then, I'd only seen it on the small screen. That was the first time I'd seen it projected in the UK, and... And it looks so fantastic. It's such a great looking film. And of course, so many of the themes of Parasite are in Snowpiercer, because Snowpiercer is basically high rise on a train.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, wouldn't that be great if that happened?
Yes.
So.
I'd love to see that on a big screen. Yeah. It's like Annihilation, random one, but Annihilation's getting a screening in the Prince Charles.
Oh, wow, okay.
In March. And I did manage to see it when it came out last year.
Yeah. Because it had a very
small window where they put it in a few cinemas.
Because, of course, in America, it was theatrically released, right?
I think so.
Because Obama chose it as one of his favourite films of the year.
Yeah, it was definitely one of mine as well. Yeah. I love that film. It's amazing.
And the Obamas produced the Best Documentary winner.
Correct.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So, you know...
And a friend of mine, his company produced... the Best Documentary Short. And that's the second time he's won an Oscar. His company's won an Oscar for documentary shorts as well. So he clearly knows what he's doing in that category.
Very good. All right. Well, look, I need to go to a day of screenings, and you need to go back to your bed.
I need to go to bed.
Are you coming to the South Bank show tonight?
If I wake up, then okay. I might show
you
up.
Wake up. All right. Well, listen, thanks very much for listening to this Kermit on Film podcast. If you've enjoyed it, remember to subscribe. And what are all the other things we have to say? There's a Patreon page. Go and have a look at that.
If you want us to talk about anything in particular, you can say it to both of us on Twitter. If you want to send us
You are at Jack Howard.
I'm at Jack Howard.
And I'm at Kermode Movie, because somebody had already taken Mark Kermode. I don't know who it is. But they're out there somewhere. And all the usual stuff.
Yeah, you know what to do.
Yeah.